A Thought for Your Pennies is hosted by Shauna and Squeaky and explores ways to save money and tips to avoid scams, all while they share their own stories along the way. Get in touch by calling 970-425-3060 or emailing penniespod@gmail.com.
Hey everybody, welcome back to A Thought for Your Pennies, the show where we learn how to save money together. I'm Shauna, and this is Squeaky.
Hi, I'm Squeaky, and I rate the comedy value of injuries.
That's great, Squeaky. That's a skill we are going to need right now because I fell down the stairs for the first time in my life on accident. Because I used to, when I was a kid, you know, did you ever do this as a kid? You went down the stairs knees first?
I would have to enumerate the body parts that did not go down the stairs first. If we're talking about my, because like ear first, no, head first, nose first, eyes first, like spine first, like brother first, brick tied to my leg first. I did the Home Alone thing. I did the sled, like into a wall. So, I was stupid.
Oh yeah, I think every kid took a sled down the stairs, right?
Yeah, but like most of them had hallways. There was just a wall. I don't know what I was thinking.
Yeah, I used to kneel at the top of the stairs and then just go down with my knees first with my feet thumping each step as we went down. My brother and I used to do that all the time.
That kind of arrests your progress. And your brother's indestructible. Wait, how indestructible are you?
I have also never broken a bone.
Okay, do we want to do your brother's non-injury first, or do we want to do your injury?
Let's do my injury, because what happened was yesterday I was going down the stairs. I was wearing kind of smooth socks on carpeted stairs.
Teflon socks, and, got it.
And so I was holding this giant chocolate chip cookie that my son bought for me at a festival.
For the sake of the podcast listener audience, can you use your hands and show me how big?
It was hand-sized, my hand size of a chocolate chip cookie.
And Sean is like a giantess. You're like 17 feet tall.
Yeah, yeah. So giant-sized cookie, right? Like I have that complete cookie unbroken in my left hand.
Oh, no.
And in my right hand is, I think, something more precious to me than my life, but not more precious than my children, but more precious than my life, which is my phone. Okay.
Okay. Okay. I thought you were going to say a beer, but okay.
No. I have fallen with a beer before, and I have also thought about a beer and a milkshake, and I have not spilled them as I fell. So,
nice.
So I am going down the stairs like I normally do, and I'm falling. And the first thought I have is, I'm not falling.
That's a bad first thought.
Like, whatever this sensation is,
it's a bad first thought.
It is not because I am falling. I don't know what I thought I was doing instead. I thought maybe I was like, I am learning how to fly. I am levitating, but I am not falling. That is not happening to me. So I was going through the five stages of grief. First, denial, not falling. and then the second thing I think, oh, I need to grab the banister. But in my hands, I have this cookie, and in my other hand, I have my phone, so I'm not going to grab the banister. Like, I made the conscious decision to not save my body and grab the banister because I didn't want to crush my cookie and I didn't want to hurt my phone. So I bring those inward to protect them. I'm going down on the stairs.
This is a good Canada reaction. In some place where they have, like, socialized health care, you're just going to get hurt and go bankrupt fixing whatever you're about to break.
Yeah. So then I hit the step. Right butt cheek hits the step first.
Oh, okay.
And
next
then,
your nose.
I felt my feet slid out from under me. Ooh, in front of me. So I didn't fall head first down. I slid out underneath. So my bottom hits, my middle of my back hits, and then my head hits a step.
Oh, the back of your head's so sensitive.
And then I hit all those same places again because, again, I am falling down the stairs. And then at the third step, I'm like,
ka-thump, ka-thump, ka-thump.
I am falling down the stairs. This is such an indignity. This is an outrage because have fallen. I've fallen before. And, you know, usually that's just a fall and then you stop, like slip on the ice. But on the stairs, it's like bump, bump. I am falling down multiple steps and I am mad now. I am not going to hit all 12 steps on the way down. So that's when I finally frog leg out to the sides of the hallway, and I stopped sliding down the stairs. But it was a very loud sound that nobody had ever heard before. Because I'm screaming, and I weigh over 200 pounds, and I am hitting each step screaming. And my husband was testing out his subwoofer in his office. And so he has his subwoofer going, and then he hears this bump and me screaming, and he thought there's an earthquake happening. It is so loud. It is shaking the house, or there's something wrong with my subwoofer, and the kids are running over as well. And then that's the next thing I think about besides the extreme pain, which is that I am embarrassed and I don't want anybody to come over and see what's going on. I am fine. So then that's the thing I scream when I stop, which is, I'm okay. Leave me alone.
Why do we even care? I mean, like,
I don't know. These are my automatic responses to falling down the stairs. I'm not falling. I'm protecting my cookie and my phone. How dare the stairs assault my body and then leave me alone.
So you save the phone, you save the cookie at the cost of your ass.
I can't sit on that butt cheek. And here's...
For the listener at home, she's adjusting right now. There's like a pillow going under there. It's like, Shauna's leaning left right now.
Yeah. Well, I mean, thank goodness I have such a large and juicy butt. It really saved me. In the immediate aftermath, I'm like, I'm older now. Did I break a bone? Can I stand up? Like, I'm freaking out a little bit.
This is a man-woman thing, isn't it? Because, like, you're at much higher risk from, like, osteoporosis and stuff, aren't you?
Yeah, it starts at 40 where your bone loss, it's like a crazy percentage every year if you don't do weightlifting. But I do weightlifting.
Nice.
So, yeah. But women really need to do weightlifting at the middle age to prevent the bones from breaking. And I've never broken a bone, so I don't know what it feels like. So I was scared that I couldn't stand up, but I was fine. I could stand up. And then I was waiting for an awesome bruise to like blossom across my backside, like my head, my back, or my butt. So like every 30 minutes, I'm pulling my pants down to my husband and I'm like, look, do you see anything yet? And he's like, no, I don't see anything. It is possible that you just hurt your bone and you won't see anything. And I'm like, it's not possible. It was an epic fall. It shook the whole house. He's like, all those things are true. And you are the loudest person I didn't know people could be as loud as they, I didn't know humanity could do what you do. But he's like, there is no bruise yet. And then the next day I show him again and he's like, you know, I actually enjoy this. You should fall down the stairs more often so you can just keep taking your pants off in front of me. But there is no bruise. And I'm so mad that I had, you know, I fell down the stairs and I have nothing to show for it. Nothing. Just I'm just drinking ibuprofen and can't sit. Right. But I don't have anything to show for it.
Like, I'm sure you got some liquid ibuprofen, but I am imagining you grinding up pills and throwing it in a cake.
No, or beer. I have liquid ibuprofen because it absorbs quicker. So,
OK.
Yeah.
I grind it up and snort it. OK, fine. Whatever.
So have you broken a bone or fallen down the stairs or anything?
All right. So I did have a spill last week. It was just on ice. You remember we had the polar vortex thing break. If you check out February 2024 in the news or whatever, you'll see we had like minus a bajillion here in Nebraska. I scraped my finger. Nothing impressive there. The one time I broke a bone, it was just like a hairline fracture. And this was back when I did martial arts. And this probably contributed to why I haven't broken anything seriously. Because one of the first things they teach you in the martial art I was in, at least, was how to fall. Because as a white belt, our responsibility was to get thrown by the other people. So I learned how to fall and roll and do all that kind of stuff. And one time we were practicing kicks and I went to go block. I was supposed to block with like an open, they call it a knife hand. I was supposed to hit it with the edge of the hand. We practiced and did all that. And instead I just kind of pulled my pinky and my ring finger in. So I had my middle finger out and this dude was throwing a kick and I'm just like, wha-cha! and I just snapped the top of his foot, and I deflected his foot hard with my middle finger.
That's not a knife hand, bro. That is a...
The doctor had to put a splint on it, and I couldn't drive for like a week.
At least, really?
Well, I mean, I was allowed to drive, but I couldn't do proper driver-to-driver signal.
So, I've never broken a bone. The only time, well, besides yesterday, that I thought I had broken a bone, I was at a retreat. It was this lake retreat where they had a blob. Have you ever heard of those?
The blob?
A blob.
Is that the big pad they put on the water that you can jump on either side of?
Right, yeah. So,
okay, tell us more, because I've only seen the videos.
Yeah, so this lake resort has a blob that is kind of like those big jumping pillows that maybe you've seen at like a harvest festival or something like that, but it's on the water.
Hang on.
So it is...
Hang on. Tell me you're from Nebraska without using the word Nebraska. From a harvest festival?
You know, all the harvest festivals everybody goes to.
Okay.
So it's like this tarp material, but it's like, you know, 6 or 7 inches thick, and then they fill it with air. And then when you jump on it, like it's like a trampoline where other people are bouncing around on it. And we thought that this lakeside resort, it was late at night.
All good stories start. It was late at night. I was drunk.
It was late at night. I was not drunk. I was the responsible one. Everybody else was drunk, and I was making sure they were okay.
Okay, hey, I will believe you were sober. I will not believe you were responsible.
Yeah, well, that is a long story short. You could say that.
Oh, sorry.
Because the drunk's idea is like, we all need to go jump on the blob, even though it's the middle of the night and the blob is closed. But we think the blob is just closed because it's the middle of the night. We don't think that the blob is closed because, oh, there's something wrong with it and it's underinflated. But,
Oh no.
Yeah, that's related. That's unfortunately related to this story. So, what we do, me and a group of drunks, we all go over to the blob and, one of my friends, Kelly, gets into the water and swims over to the blob and then sits on the edge of it. And then me and my buddy John, let's just call him John. Me and my buddy John.
Oh, poor John. Poor John.
We climb up this diver's platform, but it's just like a blob jumping onto the blob platform thing. And it is clearly closed because the platform is locked, but I teach the drunks how you can climb over the lock to get onto the platform and over it because I'm responsible. And so we get to the top of the platform and Kelly's sitting at the end of the blob and John goes, okay, so here's the plan. I'm going to jump like a half second ahead of you and then you're going to jump. And then like that'll put this double wave shock effect. So we will launch Kelly like into outer space. And I'm like, John, you're drunk. This is the best idea I've ever heard. So we go to the top of this platform.
Oh, no.
John jumps first. And I truly count to like, you know, however, you know, instead of 1,000, I just go one and then I jump right to do the half a second. And here's the thing about, I don't know, gravity, physics. Half a second is actually a really long time. And John, he jumped and he landed on the blob and he completely flattened it. So by the time
he had a little bit of his shock arrested. Okay.
So he completely flattens it. Kelly is already launched by the time I am falling a half second later, leading with my right foot. And so I do not land on a blob full of air. I land on a foot thick of plastic tarp floating on a lake from, I don't know, 20, 15 feet high. And everybody's laughing. Everybody's like, oh, the blob is great. That was awesome. And I'm just lying on the blob. And I'm like, this is awful because I didn't even get to splash in the water. I didn't even get like a fun landing. And I think I broke my foot. And so I just roll over into the water and I stay in the water because the water is cold and it keeps my foot from swelling.
Oh,
and I stay in the water for like the next 30 minutes, and then the drunks are like, whoa, wait, somebody's not laughing. Somebody's just in the water kind of groaning. Who is that? Like, yeah, that's me.
They're very attentive.
And then so I get out of the water and my foot, it was immediately bruised. It was huge and swollen. And everybody was like, oh, you broke your foot. And I was like, no, I didn't.
Did you walk it off?
What? I had to walk back to my cabin. The most painful walk of my life. It took me, it was like a 10-minute walk there and like a 45-minute walk back.
Rough.
On just this ground. And then that's when we find out that the blob is not closed at night, but the blob is closed for the foreseeable future because it needs repairs because it is underinflated. And that's why the blob was locked up. At this retreat, they're like, okay, you need to go to the hospital. And I was like, but we're whitewater rafting. I don't want to go to the hospital. I want to go rafting. And they were like, you need to go to the hospital to get, you know, a splint, an x-ray, and, you know, a cast and all that stuff. And I said, no, I'm not doing any of that. So I put my swollen foot into a hiking boot and just laced it up as tight as possible.
Nothing bad ever happened for me.
And I was like, because when you're whitewater rafting, you're not standing. You're swimming. So whatever. So I just laced it up and made it my own sort of cast with it.
Yeah, there's never a situation where you'd want to walk away from a raft. Yeah, that just doesn't happen. There's no emergency that might be complicated by a, quote, broken foot. Nope, this is totally superfluous.
Yeah,
feet,
well,
not necessary.
Yeah, so I went whitewater rafting the next day, and it was fine. And then they're like, okay, you did rafting. Now let's take you to the hospital. I was like, no, I'm flying tomorrow, and I don't want to go to the hospital because I just want to take care of this with my health insurance and my doctors at home. And they were like, all right, we can tell you're a certain type of person. We're gonna leave you alone. And so I go through the airport, and, you know, they brought me a wheelchair and pushed me through all the stuff. And I get home and I get to the clinic and they scan my foot and they're like, that is definitely broken. We got to figure out where the breaks are and all this other stuff. And then they scan it and they come back and they're like, we can't find any breaks. We obviously missed something. So you need to go back and have it scanned again, because at least there has to be a hairline fracture.
Okay.
And went back and scanned it again. They scanned it 4 times. No break.
So they suck at scanning.
I mean, I actually hadn't broken my foot. And I think I probably had not broken my foot because I was able to walk. I put it into a boot. I did all this stuff the next day. It just looked really, really bad. And everybody's like, that's a broken foot. But it didn't have any bones poking out of the skin. So, you know.
What you just described is a thing called a compound fracture. That implies the existence of non-compound fractures. Right.
Right. Yeah.
A normal fracture, you might be able to walk on, and it might just take you 4.5 times as long to get somewhere on, I mean, like you did.
Yeah. I mean, you know, so it wasn't broken. I got an awesome knee scooter.
Did you?
And I told.
Did, was it like super sprayed and twisted and just like, were all the muscles screwed? What happened?
I mean, it was a deep blue, black, purple color for a month or so, and it was like 2 to 3 times its normal size for a long time. But they were like, because it's not broken, we're not going to put it in a cast.
Yeah, a cast is for keeping stuff straight. It was straight. Right. Your bones were working.
Right. So they just gave me a foot boot and a knee scooter, and I worked at a place that was up 3 flights but didn't have an elevator. So I crawled to work every day and crawled with my knee scooter up to the top floor. And they were, and then they were like, don't you feel dumb? And I was like, no, I got this by being awesome. Hey there, Penny Thinkers. This is the ad part of our show that you want to skip over, but I don't want you to skip it because I want you to help out people who have survived the LA fires. And we have this link for you, linkcuts.org/LA fires. If you go there, there's a Google spreadsheet that has a ton of different organizations to help out the victims of the LA fire. Would love if you could show your support for our show by supporting the survivors.
I don't know what you said, Shauna, but I wholeheartedly agree that we should help people in the LA fires. So yeah, was that linkcuts.org/LA fires, all lowercase?
Yeah, that is the link, linkcuts.org/LA fires.
Well, I support you think I am fires prevent money donate.
Did I just word salad?
If you know, if you didn't, I got lost.
Man, the important thing is linkcuts.org/LA fires. Hey there, penny thinkers. Welcome back to A Thought for Your Pennies, the show where we learn how to save money together. I'm Shauna, and this is Squeaky.
Hey, I'm Squeaky, and I'm a huge fan of anti-social media.
That's right, Squeaky. Today's topic, we're going to talk about how can you save money using social media. Is this really possible? Do you think that's possible?
Yeah. At first, God, I swear we recorded this because we're just going to talk about don't get scammed by gift cards. But no, that was not me trying to hit the running gag. That was me trying to be like, what other ways are there to spend on social media?
I mean, social media is full of scams, right?
Yeah.
Both of like the direct scam of someone pretending to DM you because they want to date you, like the romance scams. Like, if you love me, send me $50 on Apple's gift card or whatever it is. Or invest in crypto to prove how much we should, you know, be married or something like that. But also just the marketing for crap products directly injected into your brain. Like, do you think social media can actually help us save money, Squeaky?
So I see what you're saying. I've actually bought a couple things that were advertised in social media, but only because I trusted the people I was getting the information from. Only because I'd listened to them for a long time and they'd give me lots of empirically testable, verifiable evidence.
Now, I realized that I was getting scammed by social media when I was looking at a shampoo massager thing to like massage the shampoo into my scalp. And I was like, I can just keep using my fingers to put shampoo in my hair. I don't need a silicone thingy.
Okay, that's ridiculous.
Oh, okay.
Can you read that though?
Gamers, Nexus. Okay, right. Yes.
So they do testing of computer hardware. Mm-hmm. And they're primarily a social media channel. They're like up on YouTube, right?
Okay.
But they publish numbers. They say how they got the numbers. It's literally like empirical science. Like, this is the best of this thing. And I've built two different gaming PCs based on recommendations from primarily them, but some other sources.
So you'll buy something if you get scammed by science.
Well, it's not a scam. I got...
Wow, those are tools.
Yeah.
They all look exactly the same. I assume they're not. I assume they all have a different thing, different bit.
I don't know if you can see the sizes, but yeah, they're all slightly different sizes.
Okay.
And I'm
all
sure
right.
Some of them are socketed, some of them are not. But it's every tool.
Scientific tools.
Well, it was $50 for...
Wow.
I mean, you go to a hardware store and one of these would be, you know, $5 or $10 individually, and there's 12 of them. So it's just cheaper than going to the hardware store. And I wanted screwdrivers to do what these screwdrivers let me do.
Okay.
Take apart graphics cards.
Okay.
So
very nice.
If I'm taking apart $1,000 piece of equipment.
You want $50 tools to do it.
That actually isn't that expensive. I've spent way more on tools.
But I'm thinking that, like, social media, how it can it save you money? And I think it's possible for social media to be able to save you money because we're on social media
probably
all the time. And so if you are following accounts that can remind you, have helpful financial advice, help you be financially smarter, remind yourself that you have larger financial goals, hear tips from other people, learn the latest about the politics that affects our fiscal.
You're clearly going down a list. You're clearly reading a list.
No. I think it's important. You know, we want to know how tariffs are going to affect us, the price of eggs, consumer protection, finance bureau, you know, protects normal folks from scams. Like, this is information that could save us money.
Any information that helps you be more accurate and more effective in whatever you're doing might help you, including in a way that helps you save money. So back to the example I've already brought in, right?
Mm-hmm.
Gamers Nexus specifically helps me with my hobby of video gaming, where maybe I don't need to buy the $1,000 graphics card if I can find on their charts my game or the games I'm playing. And they say, hey, this much cheaper thing gets you the best possible gameplay experience. You don't need to spend a penny more than this. I go buy the cheap thing.
Right. Well, you have science, but our podcast has writers that do the research, right? We have four writers, and then I also do research for every episode. And so for every episode, we have a research script that we source and we put it in the show notes. And I have started following social media accounts about money because of this podcast, to be able to do the accurate research, to have the latest topics, to be able to speak on the trends. So I think there's four different types of social media accounts that you can follow about money.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. The first, I would say that you could follow, the first category is news outlets. Like, there's some news outlets that are money-focused. So NPR, Planet Money, Financial Times, Motley Fool, Forbes. There's a lot of ones that are news organizations that will have consumer tips and the latest scams and recalls and that kind of thing that you could follow.
I'm dubious this will save us money, but, like, I'm going to let you cook because I love Planet Money.
Okay, great. Well, so the next category of financial influencers, I would say, are people who are sharing money tips for your personal finances.
Okay.
So those range from shows like this one to people who are full on professional financial advisors and are certified in it to people who are just living like a frugal lifestyle. Sometimes they're promoting their business. Sometimes they'll run an ad. They're selling a book. And I feel like along with news sources, these are kind of harmless accounts because you can clearly see where their bias is. When they promote an ad or share some free stuff that'll pipeline you into their client system. And so some of these accounts that I do like are accounts like Your Rich BFF, Broke Black Girl, and Her First 100K. These are all accounts that give great little financial tips.
Awesome. Yeah, this is the, for me, both the highest risk and the highest reward category I think you're going to bring up.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, in this category, I'd put the How to Money podcast.
Mm-hmm.
They're great. They provide really good advice for most Americans at saving money, but they're also right alongside all the scammers.
Oh, are they?
Oh, absolutely. There's tons of people in this category who will just try to like sell you their book full of nonsense.
Yeah. So that's, ooh. I put them in a little different category.
Sure,
those
sure.
are the people in the third category. I put hustlers.
Yeah. How do you tell the difference, though? And that's good. I'm sure we're going to have a whole segment.
Right. Because this is very blurry between the second and third category, like the people who are just running side hustles and telling you how they did it. And their side hustle is the account that you're following. Ooh. Like it is not trying to, you know, like my dad got into this farming business of a specific product. And he was like, oh, yeah, this product is going to hit the market and we're going to make a bunch of money. And I was like, well, the guy selling you the plants sure as heck making a lot of money. I don't know if you'll ever make a lot of that money. And that was 10 years ago. And he still hasn't made a bunch of money and he has farmland full of this stuff that he still hasn't sold yet. Right. It's like,
yeah,
that's
he got
the
scammed.
Hustle.
He got that's what it sounds like is he got scammed.
Yeah.
Sometimes businesses fail. Sometimes the business was screwing you over.
Right. And so I feel like the ones where it's pretty obvious is they want you to buy their exclusive course on how they do this side hustle.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's like, do you feel angry? You just got hustled here. I'll teach you how to do it to everybody else. You know, it's like, oh,
what I like from social media. It's when mm-hmm. I follow an expert in something and they give mm-hmm. me expertise in that thing. But
mm-hmm.
the people who have expertise in money, if they have expertise in money, they're not going to sell that to you, right? Because they would just go make money on their own, right? If you have some super stock secret that's going to make you a ton of money, why aren't you just using it to make a ton of money? Why are you selling it to me? If you were altruistic, you'd just give it away. But like Four Eyes Furniture on YouTube? He'll tell me how to make a fancy woodworking joint,
mm-hmm.
and he'll sell me a course for that. And I'll believe he's not scamming me because that's an actual skill that isn't just scam mm-hmm. nonsense. I don't know.
So sometimes it's pretty hard to tell between the second and third category, because I think there are like certified financial planners who are out there trying to build their client list. And they're like, hey, so if you like what I'm putting out here, try my free course about, you know, your basic budget overhaul. And consider becoming a client of mine. Like, I feel like that, where they're very straightforward, whereas the other ones are like, hey, do you wish money magic? I can do money magic. Let's money magic together, right? Like, where their biases are more hidden, I think that's kind of how I separate it.
You sound like every dropshipper.
Exactly. Right. Drop shipping, digitally creating stuff on Etsy. Here's how I became a landlord and have 10 properties and blah, blah, blah. Yeah.
Well, so the last one. OK, the first two clear scams. But the last one, how I became a landlord with 10 properties. There are real people who've gone from I rented to now I'm, you know, a slumlord and they're rolling in it. Ooh.
I feel like it's very hard to find an ethical one of those,
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
Because it's like, yeah, because it's like I bought a duplex. I live in one. I rent out the other side for super expensive. And I cut my expenses by just white paint all over everything. Here's how you make sure that you keep all of their deposit.
Gross.
Every time. It's like, okay, so you're teaching how to scam people who are renting from you. Like, I'm not interested in that.
How do we say, yeah, how do we save money ethically?
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. Like, that's. Because and that the line that you were talking about, that blurriness, mm-hmm. it's gross when you get to the edges.
Right.
How do you disambiguate, right?
Right. I think following social media accounts for a while and not being impulsive is really important. But I think just like any other place you're getting advice, or you know, check the references, see if other people are actually doing well because they follow this person or not. The fourth category of financial influencers, these are people I do not follow at all. Companies that are promoting themselves. I don't follow banks, investment firms. There are some risky financial products out there like payday advance schemes where you dig yourself into a hole pretty quick. I don't think following these folks will help you save money at all because they want to sell you stuff. They want to sell you financial products. Even banks want you to refinance your loan after a few years because they make way more money at the start of a loan than at the end of it. And so if you're following your bank on Instagram, you might fall for their marketing tactics instead of thinking proactively about your finances. So I don't follow those financial accounts.
Are we saving crypto until the scam segment? Because it's not purely a scam, but like maybe we shouldn't be following Coinbase or something. Anybody telling you to buy crypto now?
Okay. I just view crypto as its own independent scam. I guess it is only like it only proliferates through social media, right? Because it's not like I get a letter saying invest in this crypto.
Well, you're also not the target demographic for that. I'm sure plenty of boomers are getting paper mail about Trump coin. And the correct answer for most people is avoid it unless you do a ton of research. In 20 years, that'll be different. In 20 years, it'll be different. But today, avoid it unless you've invested like 50, 60 hours just reading and learning about it.
That's good advice. Yeah. So there you have it. Four categories of financial influencers I have found so far. The news outlets, the frugalists, and, you know, genuine people who know financial stuff. The hustlers you want to avoid and the corporates you want to avoid. All of them want something from you, even us, because we're trying to build a community of people interested in finances and stay up to date on the changing financial reality during these volatile times. So do you agree with this summary of social media financial influencers, and who do you think we should check out? Let us know by contacting us at athoughtforyourpenniespod@gmail.com or leave us a message at 970-425-3060 and we'll share your thoughts on air. So that we could save money together.
Yeah, save money with us in these trying times. You sounded just like a bank during COVID. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Thought for Your Pennies. I'm Shauna, and this is Squeaky.
Hey, I managed to save 2 pennies, and I'm going to donate them to the survivor of the LA fires.
The one survivor's getting both your pennies. That's so generous. Squeaky. God,
can't keep up. That's right. I'll find a few more pennies and donate to the survivors at linkcuts.org/LA fires.
Yep. Helping each other out whenever there are problems is a great thing we should all be doing, even if we can't make it through a simple ad read without laughing.
Hey there, penny thinkers. Welcome back to A Thought for Your Pennies, the show where we learn how to save money together. I'm Shauna, and this is Squeaky.
Hey, I'm Squeaky, and if I'm launching a new crypto, it's going to be A Thought for Your Crypto Penny, and it's going to work.
Oh my, we are never launching a crypto. Never, ever. Because this is the episode we're going out over social media scams, and if somebody DMs you saying A Thought for Your Pennies is launching crypto, no, we're not, never. Never,
yeah,
ever.
Yeah, we will not announce that over social media. But one of these days, I might convince Sean it would be a good idea, and we'll announce it on air.
Yeah. All right.
Sean is like, nope.
No, I'm not doing it. No. A lot of social media scams we've gone over already, really. I mean, we're talking about crypto. There's been the romance scams. We did an episode on that.
Yeah.
The as seen on TV type of scams that you see on social media. Pyramid schemes, people selling puppies or trying to rent a property but don't have the puppies and don't have that property, right? But what is interesting about social media scams is that they're really effective compared to scams that come through other channels. According to the FTC, people reported losing more money when contacted through social media. Most people, 70%, reported a loss when they were contacted through a social media platform and lost more money overall. And this was $1.9 billion in 2024.
All right, so some things strike me about that. That's an astoundingly low number, right?
$1.9 billion lost to social media scams?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a, okay.
Well, when you look at it in the grand scheme of things, Mm-hmm. Right? That's one GDP of Nebraska. So it can't be a lot of money.
That is one Nebraska. It's hardly anything.
I mean, yeah. So you lost a value of approximately 10% of the country's corn. Okay, fine. How about this? The country's GDP is measured in the trillions of dollars. So scams is less than a tenth of a percent. I take that optimistically. It means that we can fight scams, we can resist.
Right. Yeah. And we should.
So that's awesome. And then you can only be scammed if you're interacting with other people. Mm-hmm. And social media's fundamental draw is you get to interact with other people.
Right. So the way to protect yourself is what you started with, anti-social media. Don't interact with anybody.
I think
you can't get scammed, right?
Just stay at home, read a book.
Right. There you go. Anti-social media, a book.
So is a book club anti-social media?
Oh, man. Now we've horseshoed around. But
okay. What about a book club on Facebook?
I've got some different social media scams to go through here, Squeaky. We can be done playing little semantic games. But let me tell you the top way for me that I'm most susceptible to on social media, which is why I've had to change a lot of my social media habits, is buying crap I don't need.
Oh, absolutely. This could
be a scam, not really a scam. And I'm not talking about, you know, the stuff that's as seen on TV that really is going to break, but just like things I don't need.
Like, if you bought this would be BS, right? You don't need to disassemble graphics cards.
No.
Yeah, right. We're different. Yeah, but I like it. I want to disassemble graphics cards, and I have.
Well, or these things that are like makeup removal discs that were just a washcloth. Like, you can just...
That's just not even useful. Yeah, I would just categorize that as a scam.
That is a scam because you could just use a washcloth?
Well, I mean... Actually, I don't know much about makeup. Think about bottled water, right? Mm-hmm. Is a bottle of water a scam because you can go get the tap at home? Or are you paying for the convenience? Where's the line? And if it is just a washcloth disc? Oh, that's pretty bad. You could just get a washcloth. It's not like you need to wash your face in the aisle at Target or whatever. It feels free. I'm trying to defend it. I got nothing.
Sometimes there's trends. People will share things. Like, there was these curls that were going around of how to curl your hair with a sock, right? You put your hair around a sock, and then you tie the sock up, and you go to bed with your hair at, like, 80% dry. And then, yes, you wake up with beautiful, squeaky hair in the morning.
So you're saying I need to put a sock? I put my hair around a sock?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Like you're doing over your V8 can right now, but you do it over a sock. Right. So that was a viral trend that was taking off. And then people capitalized on that by selling this thing called robe curls, which was this squishy thing that you could wrap your hair around and go to sleep in. And it's like, we already had the socks. We didn't need this extra thing. But now there's an extra thing that they're selling on TikTok Shop that you didn't really need. In order to not get scammed from stuff I don't need, I have an ad blocker. And I make sure that I don't have those algorithms that are programmed to things I might buy. And it doesn't track me around things that I'm using on my phone. So I try to cut down on the stuff I see.
Ad block is great. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And there's a ton of good ones. I'm using uBlock Origin. It's the open source one.
Okay.
I had to double check because I remember that there's two big ones. There's ad block and then there's uBlock. And one of them is open source and like community driven, and the other one was bought by Google and allows Google junk through.
Now, the second social media scam is a fake influencer, because while it's not a real measure of trust, we like people who have lots of followers. So if somebody's got over a few hundred thousand followers, we think they have something valuable. But according to Influence City, this can be faked. You can buy followers.
Okay. We had this conversation before because I said, you asked, who would you trust, someone who has more or less followers? And I said, less.
Right.
And you didn't like that answer because there is zero correlation between how many followers someone has and how trustworthy they are.
Right. But I mean, that's what people are social. We're primed for following popular people, and people that are popular, we're like, oh, they must be popular for a good reason. And I think that's what you're saying is, like, popularity is not the same thing as good.
Yep. Well, popularity is the same as accurate.
Mm-hmm.
You can concoct some definition of good, but I'm not trying to play semantic games, but it's happening.
Right.
Right. Yeah. It's if you want accuracy, you have to. The only way to get there is evidence. And that's hard. So.
Yep. Well, here's some other ways that people fake this popularity besides buying followers. They also have engagement pods where they join groups where members mutually agree to like, comment, and share each other's posts to boost engagement metrics artificially. There's bot engagement where fake influencers use automated bots to generate likes, comments, and shares on their content, creating the illusion of high engagement. There's inauthentic content where they repost or steal popular stuff, actual organically popular stuff from other creators to have an active profile. And there's misleading metrics where they have a high follower count but low genuine engagement. Ugh. And unusual growth patterns where all of a sudden they spike up because they purchased followers.
You're mixing what is the result and what is the effect. Because if having an unusual growth pattern, that's a clue that they're full of crap.
Another scam on social media is one that's a tale as old as time, an account with a fake story.
Catfishing. Okay.
Yep. But it's like disaster fishing, right? This happens a lot after disasters and during wars where people will steal images from a real GoFundMe in our account asking for help. And so for me, I only donate if I actually know that person personally, or the GoFundMe has been verified by a news source. God. Or there's like a mutual aid organization I trust that's doing the verification. Otherwise, I do not spend money through social media, and I don't donate through social media.
Like in our ads, we vetted
right.
The LA fires things that we put on there.
Right.
But on social media, I'm seeing tons of things for helping out Palestine, and I've clicked on a few, and then I'm like, this doesn't seem like it's going to help Palestine. This LLC is registered in Baltimore. I'm not seeing it. It's
right. There has to be verified charities that you trust or someone that you trust that says, I know this person, or you know the person. That's the only way to do it. And
evidence.
And there's also the ones where social media accounts pretend to be the real influencer that you do know.
Oh, that's like pirate software. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And so they message you to divulge information. So check and double check that the account is real before you engage, and do reversed image search to see if this is the only account, if this is the real person, or if the images or content has been stolen.
Did I just misunderstood. You said somebody's contacting you claiming to be a popular influencer?
Yeah, so like this pirate engineer person you're saying, what's their name again?
Pirate Software. Dude has the most distinctive voice ever. Oh, it sounds like you're listening to butter.
Okay, so yeah, Pirate Software will DM you and say, hey, I'm starting this new coin called Pirate Software Coin, and I want you to be the first 10% of my investors because I've seen you've liked my videos a lot. And this is especially a problem, I think, on Instagram, because it shows you the person's name, but it doesn't show you their user handle. And so you don't realize right away that you are actually getting messaged by pirate_software_0125. You think you're getting messaged by the real person because they have the same exact icon and the name is the same. And you have to double check that to see if you're getting messaged by the real person you're following or not.
I just realized me and Pirate Software are the same hair.
That's amazing.
Okay.
You also have the same buttery voice.
My voice is screechy and halting.
No, that's not why we call you Squeaky.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Another scam is, which I've seen not only on social media, but I've also seen, in my email inbox and get texted about this, ads on crappy websites, which is fake jobs.
There's some next level scams here.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Oh, God. May I?
Please, sir.
Okay. So I get this from a recent episode of Click Here. They're an intelligence and cybersecurity podcast. So they still use the word cyber. So, they're a little bit out of touch. But this apparently is actually happening to people, and it happened to me one time, and I noped out because I never install software that I haven't spent a ton of time vetting or built from source myself.
Mm-hmm.
But I found some jobs on LinkedIn.
Mm-hmm.
I went through the application process. They asked for all my information. And then finally, in the end, they said, hey, record a quick video thing saying why you should get the job. And I'm like, I'm a podcaster. I really shouldn't be on video. But we're gonna do it on YouTube.
Okay. Right. Yeah. This is your life now.
But it didn't work. It couldn't find my camera. It couldn't find my mic. It said, download this piece of software and run it. And it was an EXE.
Oh, my gosh.
And never run an EXE. You just download.
Mm-hmm.
Just don't, because you're not going to get a job. You just won't. And what it did do, there was this large, we believe state-sponsored, click here believes, state-sponsored hacking group from China that they've codenamed like Silent Typhoon or something.
Interesting.
But it's just aggregating tons of social media accounts from Americans and people in Western countries. And I think the idea is someday, if there's ever a war, they're going to log a different social media and start using it to do pro-China stuff or anti-America stuff or whatever.
Huh.
But just the fact that somebody else has all your credentials is probably not
good. Unnerving. Yeah. That is, wow. Yeah.
Because even if that doesn't happen, what if just some dude takes your stuff and uses it for something?
Right.
Right?
So.
The Salt Typhoon was the name. Salt Typhoon.
So the scans run the gamut from fake surveys to just pretending to be legit. And here's another quote from the Federal Trade Commission for you about the job scam thing in particular, that between 2020 and 2024, reports nearly tripled and losses grew from 90 million to 501 million on the job loss scams. I mean, the fake job scams.
If the job's asking you to do weird stuff to apply, nope out.
Right. So there you have it. Social media copies a lot of other scams, but some have their own social media flavor, from buying stuff you just don't need to pretending they have a lot of followers that they don't, to faking a story or faking a job offer. So be careful out there. Is there anything we missed? Let us know by dropping us a line at athoughtforyourpenniespod@gmail.com or calling us at 970-425-3060, and we'll share you on air your thoughts so that we can all learn how to save money together.
On LinkedIn, while I was double checking the facts for this, I found a certified denim installer position.
Disgusting.